Today is a solemn day when we remember the sacrifice of many in service of their country and for our freedom. We're also reminded in this remembering that many still lay down their lives in defense of country and what is perceived to be right. In remembering the sacrifice of the many for us, we are also reminded of the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior in the death of the many for the one. In our reading from Romans today, we are reminded that God is with us in all these things. It is not that these things do not happen to us, but that we know that our Lord and Savior, who himself went through these things, will be with us as we make our way through.
How wonderful it is to see a messenger coming across the mountains bringing good news. The news of peace. Take a moment to think of some good news from the week. It may be something as simple as speaking to someone on the phone, a flower that was in bloom, or something spectacular.
Good morning, God. Good morning, Jesus. And good morning, Spirit. Or perhaps it is not such a good morning for some, especially as in the forefront of our minds is remembering all those who've lost their lives in the service of our country and for our freedom. Or perhaps we've simply not had a good day or week, but come here out of a sense of duty. But whatever our mindset, please calm our hearts as we breathe in your spirit and breathe out our stress or distress. Clear our minds of what troubles or burdens us, and may we focus on you with us in this very moment. And so, we come to this moment knowing that it's a somber day of remembering. And in remembering, there is also the idea that we have forgotten some things, or perhaps someone. Please forgive us for this oversight, or this deliberate forgetfulness. May we not forget that we are all your people, all created in your image, all worthy of your love. Our gathering verse this day reminds us that we are messengers bringing good news and peace. Most Holy One, forgive us for the times when we have not shared your good news with those around us, or when we ourselves have not remembered your good news for us, and so have acted at war with those around us. Rather, may we be conduits of peace, not the absence of conflict, but wholeness of life, with ourselves, each other, you and your world. Amen.
Romans 5:6-8 says, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. As we remember and forget, as we share good news and peace, may we put our hope and faith in your future, and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Most Holy One, as we hear these familiar passages of Scripture again, open our ears to hearing them in the light of this day of remembrance, of the suffering and conflict that seems to engulf us, but also in the light and freedom that your word offers to us. Amen.
What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. For I his and he is mine. Alleluia. Precious blood of Christ, alleluia. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever block me from his hand. Me home here in the power of Christ. I stand here in the power of Christ. I stand.
my children were all involved in gymnastics before we moved to the UK, all taking place in many high-level competitions, one even being chosen to travel internationally and represent South Africa. They were never under any pressure from us as parents to be first or even medaled, but simply to go and have fun. They were always good sports, and if they didn't do particularly well, they always received a bit of mockery. One of our favourites was second place is first loser. Ever hear that one before? All of us prefer winning over losing. There is no prize for second place, or so they say. And many of us believe that without question. But every now and again, there is an exception. Some of you may remember Eddie the Eagle Edwards, who participated in the 1988 Winter Olympics in Calgary in Canada. At the time, Eddie was a 25-year-old plasterer with thick glasses and a goofy grin. He entered the Games as England's only and first ever ski jumper. Eddie was not very skilled, and he looked decidedly non-athletic. In his yellow ski jumping suit, he looked more like Winnie the Pooh than the sculpted athletes one usually associates with the Olympics. Eddie's training had been substandard, and his equipment was second rate. The airline lost Eddie's luggage when he travelled to Calgary. On the day of his competition, the Olympic security guards almost didn't let Eddie in at all because, they later said, the man's Coke bottle glasses had such thick lenses that they were certain he was an imposter. But he did get let in eventually, but he didn't do very well. Outside Magazine said that in the air, Eddie looked like an errant slush ball. When it was all over, Eddie came in 56th place out of a field of 57 jumpers. However, the 57th jumper was disqualified. But all over the world, Eddie was loved. Johnny Carson had Eddie flown down to California to appear as a guest on The Tonight Show. TV crews and newspapers from around the world clamored to interview Eddie. Once he got back to England, he was treated like a full-blown celebrity who translated his fame into a tidy sum. Eddie was truly the exception and probably someone we can identify with, but in truth, not someone we really want to be. We want to win and not be the first loser. If our favourite rugby team beats their greatest rival in our house, that's South Africa beating New Zealand, we will happily bask in the glory of the win because we won. But when they lose such a game, we are likely to switch allegiances and become something else because they lost. We are quick to align ourselves with victories, but equally quick to put some daylight between ourselves and defeat. Given all that, we're glad to discover the Apostle Paul's ringing assurance at the end of Romans 8 that we are all victors, winners, cosmic conquerors. In fact, in verse 37, it may very well be the case that Paul coined his own Greek word in an attempt to express the enormity of everything he had written so far in this landmark chapter. In verse 37, Paul says not just that we are conquerors, but he attaches the Greek prefix hyper, from which we get our word hyper. We are not just winners, Paul explains, we are hyper winners. And let's face it, aren't we pleased to hear that? We are all winners, hyper victors, through him who loved us, Paul says. But that's not all that Paul says. Many of us are familiar with the phrase, more than conquerors. But how often do we remember the four words that precede this declaration? In all these things. Paul is not like some slick advertiser who tries to catch your attention by coming up to you out of the blue and saying, you're a winner. Instead, he writes first, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And so the logical question becomes, in all what things? Well, in all the things Paul has just been talking about. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Followed by a list of potential candidates. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. Now, maybe we can just skim over a list like that without batting an eye. But the reaction of the Roman Christ followers was rather different the first time they saw this. To them, this was a description that hit close to home. What would a present-day list of all these things look like? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall terrorist plots, increasing threats of war in Europe, cuts in benefit, the rise of cost of living, unemployment, depression, divorce, cancer, miscarriages, infertility, knife violence. You see, when Paul says, in all these things, he is describing the everyday realities of life that threatens us, that makes life unhappy, unpredictable, and difficult. And please notice that Paul does not say that we are more than conquerors over all these things, as though to say that if we are faithful enough, these difficulties will never come our way in the first place. We are not victors over these things, but in them. We do not lead victorious lives because we get spared the pain of this world, but rather, like Jesus himself, we find victory smack in the middle of life's worst realities. That's why verse 36 makes clear that we face death all day long, even as we are all the time considered like sheep to be slaughtered. That's what we look like to this world, like sheep to be slaughtered. That line is a quote from Psalm 44, but in a New Testament context, comparing us to sheep at the slaughter is an loaded allusion to Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was slain. As followers of the crucified Christ, of the one who was weirdly and paradoxically glorified on a cross of all places, so we also face death all day long. We live cross-shaped lives of sacrifice and service. We are constantly putting to death the clutchings of ego and desire, of vengeance and the way of violence. We are people told to turn the other cheek, to forgive 70 times 70 times in a life that does not use a calculus of grace, but that exudes grace in a wildly exorbitant way. Nice guys finish last, a popular cliche says, and as Christ followers, we who walk under the sign of the cross, we reply that if this is so, then we will be quite content to finish last. As you hear these words, imagine before Paul a long line of people down the centuries questioning him. A woman whose body is riddled with cancer comes to Paul and says, do my tumors separate me from the love of God? And Paul says, no. Person in a wheelchair rolls up and asks, does my disability separate me from the love of God? And Paul says, no. A parent who senses the reality of death so keenly their whole body aches with the grief of it all asks, does my loved one's death separate them or me from the love of God? And Paul says, no. Someone shunned by family, does my differentness separate me from the love of God? And Paul says, no. And me, am I such a bad sinner that I am separated from the love of God? And Paul says, no. And finally, Paul says, listen, everyone, there is nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That covers everyone, everything, and every conceivable situation you could ask me about. Multi-billionaire TV magnate Ted Turner said that he could never become a Christian because Christianity seems like a religion for losers. Microsoft chairman Bill Gates also once derided worship by saying that he could think of lots of far more productive things to do with a Sunday morning than singing and praying in a church. The world hails us as losers whose lives are outwardly no better than the next person's life. But still, we are willing to follow our Lord. We walk the way of the cross and go down into death along with Jesus, and we do it because we know that somehow, in the deep magic of the cosmos, victory comes through defeat, and healing comes through humility. That is the gospel way, and we follow it even though it so often leads us away from success as the world defines it. And we do all of this because we carry in our hearts the better vision of God's kingdom. Successful people, the winners of society, get ahead by conforming themselves to this world, adapting themselves to its values, working its angles, and going with the flow. Losers like us, on the other hand, do not conform to the world, but instead we try to give life the shape of things to come by living into the better patterns of God's kingdom. Eddie the Eagle is a lousy ski jump, but he really loved it. In fact, he had hoped to compete once again in future Olympics, but it turned out that Olympic officials did not like Eddie and felt he reflected badly on the games. So they instituted what some call the Eddie Rule, which requires all athletes to have finished in the top half of an international sports event as a prerequisite for getting into the Olympics. Doubtless that will keep Eddie and many like him out. You see, the Olympic folks don't mind having people lose, but only because without losers, there could be no winners. But if a loser gets attention, the winners somehow seem diminished. In this world, losers are supposed to fade away quietly so that winners can occupy center stage. But the secret of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we become winners by losing. We gain life by dying, and we gain victory in all these things that pain us, because it was precisely for all of these things that Jesus came into this world in the first place.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other souls to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine.
Jesus, thou hast taught us, not with gold or gem, but with your own lifeblood for thy diadem. With thy blessing filling each who comes to thee, thou hast made us willing, thou hast made us free. By thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. 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 We are thine. We are thine.
may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round the standard ranging, victory is secure. For his truth unchanging makes our triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we
Let us pray for all who suffer because of conflict and ask for God's peace to prevail. For all who have died in the violence of war, each one remembered by and known to God. For those who mourn, for a loved one killed in conflict, for they will be comforted. As a country places itself on a war footing, what this means for our own safety now, we can scarcely begin to imagine. Only we ask that all may work for peace instead. And so we pray for peacemakers and peacekeepers who look to keep this world secure and safe, who place themselves in harm's way so that we may not have to. We pray for all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, political, military, and religious, asking for gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search for reconciliation and peace. We pray for the people of Ukraine struggling for freedom, and the people of Russia living with lies and manipulation, for the people of Yemen, Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, Sudan, and the myriads of countries too many to name, suffering drawn out of conflict. For the people of Gaza and the occupied territories, living with violence, terror, and oppression, and the people of Israel, yearning for security. Personal God, we turn now to our own conflicts and grief. Where there is conflict in our homes or families, may love and forgiveness prevail, so reconciliation can be a possibility. For our inner conflict of doubt and questioning, may we know that you are with us in all these things, that we do not shoulder our burdens alone, but you are with us. Thinking of those who have died, Lord, we remember our own loved ones who have left us. We trust that one day we will be reunited with them and you in the glory of our kingdom, where there will be no more pain, tears, or sorrow. But for now, help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world and grant us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And as we say the prayer Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31a says, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" and goes on to talk of Christ Jesus' sacrifice for each of us. Earlier in the year, as I was aiding the newish church treasurer with gift aid, I was bowled over by the sacrifice of our congregants on a fixed income and their overwhelming generosity in response to these things they have been through, and knowing that in spite of it, nothing can separate them from the love of Christ Jesus, and so they continue to sacrifice for him. Most Holy One, who is with us in all these things, be in these things, these monies, that we give to you, and may the love that fills us and enables us to serve imbibe these gifts for the service of a better community. Amen.
May the Christ who is with us in all these things continue to be with us as we go into a suffering and lost world to share in each other's lives, to share freedom and peace and hope. May the Christ give us the courage to be all these things to ourselves too. And may the blessings of God, the peacemaker, Jesus, the light and hope, and the enabling spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.